Rick Emerson. He's back only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
The thing is, as a result of Trey Parker and Matt Stone, I'm unable to see Saddam Hussein as anything more than Satan's homosexual lover. It's like you just see so many pictures of him holding a crimson-colored angry rubber dildo, and it just sort of sticks with you. That just becomes, And I have to say that I love the idea of him, because they found him, he's in like a hole. Right, he's in like a hole. I mean, it's not even really so much a cave or an underground bunk. It's just a hole. And they go down there with guns, and he's sitting there lurking, essentially, in his own feces. Saying, I am the president of Iraq. Bow before me. And he's just like in a big dirt clod hole under the ground.
The first thing I thought is, oh, they found Mitchell Bickford in Iraq.
He looks just like Karl Marx, man. It's freaky. He's been hanging out with, with Baghdad Bob, and there are no tanks. I am not being arrested. I am not being taken for the microphone. Exactly. Good times, man. What a year. What a year it's been. What are we, December 15th? Yeah, man, we got two more weeks of this. This has been the strangest year, and I mean, that's not saying something, you know? That's saying, we've lived through a whole heck of a lot here in this country. Last 25 years, last 30 years. This is the weirdest year I can remember. All right, well, we got all kinds of stuff coming up today. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 4 minutes, 12 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of December. In the year of our Lord, 2003. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KFTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom, Sarah Dillon coming up later this hour, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney corralling the people of power in Capitol Hill to tell us all about the Saddam situation later on this hour. Coming up in honor of his humiliating capture and forced shaving, we'll be doing the top five songs about going to jail for Saddam Hussein. That's coming up later on today. Today's top five. Top five songs about going to prison. What else do we... Oh, Jolie from the front desk today. Today, some guy on today's How Chicks Think, somebody has a question about how to pick up single desperate women during the holidays. We'll get to that later on. What else? What else do we have? We've got I mentioned the John Bisney. Oh, we got big news about the Bigger Than Jesus. We'll get to that this hour, too. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Today, an Aussie watch coming up. Also, we have some other watch. Well, we have a Saddam watch, of course.
Joy of Christmas.
Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas. That's on the way, too. Your phone calls. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080. KOTK.
It's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic from Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig, like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's the radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster. Yeah. And he's not having it. The radio gangster. Yeah. And he's not having it. The radio gangster. Yeah. He's not having it. The radio gangster. Yeah. He's not having it.
No, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
My, what a busy day.
If they took all the Saddam coverage over the past 24 hours and stretched the videotape and go around the world four times.
That's one of those made up. Didn't they just have that at the top of the end? The CNN guys were saying that the post office is saying all the letters delivered on this day would reach to the moon. Made up. Made up fact. That's one of those things that you hear when you're growing up and you just sort of blindly assume that it's true and it never occurs to you that they're just pulling it out of their ass. Making it up. It's like when they say that a billion people watch the Oscars. They have no idea. They're just making it up because they know that you don't know any better.
That's true. Well, let's get right to the Saddam Watch.
Here's your Saddam Watch.
Some people say that I'm a bad guy. They may be right. They may be right. But it's not as if I don't try. I just f*** up. Try as I might.
But I can change. I can change.
I can learn to keep my promises. I swear it.
But I'm...
And I will share it any minute now. I will be born again.
Well, now we're starting to learn more about Saddam, the man. The man who hates America loves fun-sized Mars bars. Some were found in that ramshackle mud hunt that the rape room founder hid in.
Well, what I saw were Mars candy bars. That's what I saw. A couple of them. Just bite-sized versions.
So, did Saddam wear boxers or briefs?
Orchard. And this is a small compound Saddam Hussein was living in. This is the kitchen here. A sink over here, medicine, Mars bars, a flashlight, a cab, rotting bananas. The place looks like a mess, not the sort of place you would expect to see a former president living in. Tins of Spam in the cupboard there. And around this way, walking around the corner behind the mud wall, a box of oranges lying on the floor, already beginning to rot. A pot of water here. The bedroom in here, two beds. And inside the bedroom, a refrigerator, a heater. On the wall, posters, a Christian poster, Noah's Ark, the bed, crumpled bed clothing, fresh, clean pair of boxer shorts, unused, still new, another bed, a box full of clothes, a few books. On the bookcase here, pictures, brand new frames, but nothing in the frames, no pictures to be spoken of. And down here, pair of shoes, unused, some water, a tracksuit bottoms. Just chaos, not the conditions you'd really expect the former Iraqi leader to be living in.
And it was only like a block away from his palace, right?
Yeah.
It's like his palace is over here, and like 30 feet away, he's living in...
St. John's.
He's living in some hovel, man. It's just, it's terrible. It just looks like a flop house. He's just sitting there like rooting around in his own filth. It's just terrible. And they keep talking about it like it's a... I mean, they keep talking about it like it's a building, and it's a hole. I mean, it's just a big L-shaped hole dug in the, you know what it is? It's like living in the tool shed out behind your house. You know, if you live in like a Woodburn or something, it's like going and living out back, you know, like among the gardening supplies, right? Like, right between the rakes.
Now, they just went through the refrigerator and they found some Bounty candy bars. Apparently he likes them also. Some hot dogs and a can of 7-Up. And there was some old bread on the counter, leftover rice in a pot, and dirty dishes in the sink. You think he'd have all the time in the world to wash his own dishes?
Do you suppose that companies have whole teams of lawyers and PR people on hand whenever it turns out that some nutcase enjoys their products a whole lot? Like, it's not your team. It's like when the Heaven's Gate guys killed themselves and they all had the Nikes on and the whatnot. And it's like, you wonder if they just sit there and... You wonder if Phil Knight or somebody's just sitting there on television. It's 500 cult members killed themselves wearing Nikes. And it's just one of those, you know, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, they have to go off and find, you know, it's like, you know, it turns out that, you know, David Koresh, you know, was a big fan of, you know, Wheat Thins or something.
That'd be bad. Well, national pride abounds at Fort Hood, Texas, where Lieutenant General Tom Metz tells he learned of the joyous event.
They turned down CNN, and I said, wait a minute. I'm down here to see exactly what y'all are watching. Turn that volume back up. And we all enjoyed watching General Sanchez and Ambassador Bremer's announcement.
Fox was happy to hear that, especially on live television. The president was awoken by a clatter. He sprang from his bed to see what was the matter.
And Condi woke me at 5:15 in the morning, and which was okay this time. And just don't do it again. But she said that Jerry Bremer had just called her, and they were, you know, they were prepared to say this was Saddam Hussein. In which case, we got dressed and hustled over to the Oval Office to start making calls. One of the calls that did receive was from my dad. And it was a very brief conversation. She said, "Congratulations, it's a great day for the country." And I said, "It's a greater day for the Iraqi people."
Please. The, you know, the funny thing about this is, though, that he's, like, ratted out by his own family. That's got to be the worst part.
Yeah.
It should die in your... No, it'll just be for a few weeks. No, can I just... I mean, just, do you have, like, a couch or something? All right.
Had to give him a Mars bar, but it might have not happened.
I'm going to take their small TV, too. No, you won't even know I'm here. No. There's a guy. He's going to get me a job at the lumberyard. Now, just be for... No, I just need your car for, like, a week. No, just like an advance until payday, just a little something. You know, and he's just there living in the back, and then eventually the neighbor's, oh, Jesus Christ, that guy, I'm so sick of that guy keeping us awake. Just pick up the phone and call, call Colin Powell and come in and roust him.
Well, the president is pleased that we're doing God's work.
I firmly believe, and you've heard me say this a lot, and I say it a lot because I truly believe it, that freedom is the Almighty God's gift to every person, every man and woman who lives in this world. That's what I believe. And the arrest of Saddam Hussein changed the equation in Iraq. Justice was being delivered to a man who defied that gift from the Almighty to the people.
Here is a reaction from Tony Blair.
There is still a massive amount to do, but we have achieved a great deal in a short time. A political timetable taking us through to a democratic, elected government in Iraq. An Iraq where the public enjoy freedom of speech and religion for the first time in decades.
Now let's go to the Democratic presidential candidates. Here is John Kerry.
And I think you could transform this effort to reduce the cost to the American people and reduce the risk to American soldiers. You could repair relationships on a global basis, and we could begin a major transformation of the entire war on terror.
He never stays on topic.
I have no idea what that even means.
I know. Here's Wesley Clark.
We still have our forces there. They're in danger. We don't have international support. We don't have an Iraqi government that we can turn over the sovereignty of their own country to. We still have the threat from Al-Qaeda.
Here's John McCain.
I think once the European people see the extent of the incredible, horrible things that this guy did for 35 years, that maybe we'll get some more public opinion, which would then translate into more support from our European allies.
And now Dick Gephardt.
I think the optimal solution, if it can be done, is to try to get the Iraqi people to have enough governance to do this trial themselves.
They don't even have... What are they going to do? Just like a card table out front?
They can find a stick to beat on the desk. They
it's going to be like one of those trials on Gilligan's Island where they accuse the skipper of taking a pie or something, and it's just going to be somebody out there with a coconut gavel. No. Order. Have the trial there.
Yeah, that's going to work. Here's Howard Dean.
I want to first congratulate our extraordinary military on an extraordinary effort and an extraordinary success.
Completely ruining my campaign effort.
It will change the course of the occupation of Iraq. But I think the first order of business is to congratulate the United States military, to congratulate the Iraqi people, and to say that this is a great day both for the American military, the American people, and for the Iraqi people.
Oh, that guy's got to be hating it. That guy's got to be... I mean, we can all agree that Saddam Hussein's a bad guy and a thug and a rogue and a miscreant and whatnot. But, you know, Howard Dean, you know, you just know that he was woke up and saw that on CNN and just went down and put a big shot of wild bourbon, you know, wild turkey right down his throat. Because his whole thing is based on, you know, no, we're never going to accomplish anything. It's a waste of time. And everybody... Do we have that Lieberman cut?
That's
up?
Next. All right. Joe Lieberman, standing in the rain, says Howard Dean makes the day just a little worse than it has to be.
You can hear the rain drizzling here, too.
If Howard Dean had his way, Saddam Hussein would still be in power today, not in prison. And the world would be a much more dangerous place. The American people would have a lot more to fear.
Doesn't it sound like he's standing outside waiting to be let in somewhere? Like maybe they wouldn't even open the door for him, so he's just out on the front steps waiting for somebody to pay attention.
He'll die of pneumonia like Keiko.
He's just...
Not that we hope that would happen.
No, I wish him the... I don't dislike Joe Lieberman personally. It's just you get the feeling he's just standing there outside
for
waiting for someone to walk by.
Aren't you Joe Lieberman? Ready for... You've got my vote, Joe.
It's going to be on television selling auric vacuums within a year. Unpatriotic Al Sharpton doesn't share the national pride.
We have Hussein now. I think that we need to use this moment to withdraw to end occupation. I think the debate now will shift to occupation and the need of such occupation. But so I don't think any of us that were opposed to the war were pro-Hussein. But I don't think the capture of Hussein 9 months later in any way justifies the American public and the general international public being told we were going in because of weapons that clearly were not there at that time.
Well, seriously, if anybody was gonna surround himself with full-on serious weapons, you figure it'd be Saddam. But all he had, like a rifle or something, which he didn't even use for reasons kind of unknown. He had a rifle and a pistol and a big sack of cash that he was gonna buy things unknown with.
And he just bought two pair of boxer shorts that he didn't open.
It seems like if you got an assault rifle, that sort of obviates the need to have cash. It seems like you kind of either need money or a gun. If you've got one, you kind of don't need the other.
Hillary Clinton rushed to a payphone to Plaid Pantry to call in.
Yesterday was a good day. I was thrilled that Saddam Hussein had finally been captured.
And that is Saddam Watch up to the minute.
There's your Saddam Watch for Monday. We got more on the way, including John Bisley. Stay there. We'll be back. It's Hot Talk 1080. Care to care.
Open up my heart and I will share it. Any minute now I will be born again.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I forgot my house key. I'm just waiting for someone to let me in. Sure, dealing with the traffic.
Yeah, there's an
KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We got the CNN radio correspondent John Bisney coming up this hour. Later on, Jolie from the front desk for How Chicks Think. Today, a guy wants to know how you can pick up single desperate women during the holidays. We'll ask the question, then Jolie will shriek, and then my head will start to hurt, and then everybody will begin to clench their teeth at the same time, and we'll all wish we were dead, and it'll probably be over about that. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK Newsroom. What is it with you, man?
Oh, I just gotta give as much money as I possibly can to these youngsters.
Yeah, all right.
They are our future, you know. Time out for Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
Here's the Joy of Christmas for Monday.
This comes to us from Stillwater, Oklahoma. A Pawnee woman is out on $2,500 bail after being charged with child abuse. Logan County DA Rob Hudson says police got a call stating a woman was putting children in the trunk of her car after doing Christmas shopping at the Stillwater Walmart.
Of course.
Now, when police arrived, they found the kids who put in the trunk because, well, they didn't have money after putting all the presents in the back seat.
Jesus.
Oh, had a number of people. It was a full car. And they then proceeded to investigate and made an arrest for and presented charges or a case to us for child abuse.
Maybe that's why those people always buy such huge cars. They got to have a big enough trunk that they can shove all their numerous children into it.
Well, they didn't want to see the kids. Kids didn't want to see all the Christmas presents.
You can't pack your children into the like the trunk of a Festiva or something.
But there were two kids in the trunk, and five more in the back seat. She probably could have fit a couple more. She really squashed them in there, but. Yeah, she's been released on $2,500 bail.
What is it?
Year old Marcellus.
Do they just spray fertility drugs inside Walmart or something? Is that it? Do they just like crop dust the inside of like gun shops and cigarette places with something that just makes you extra fertile? I don't know what it is, man. It's like you go into White Cherry. If you're not pregnant with 3, 4, 5 kids, by the time you come out of that Walmart, you will be. You will be reproducing future downward spiraling denizens of the bottom 2% of this country by the time you leave the store. I don't know what it is.
That's all the future retail help. That's today's Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
Yeah, mommy can take her little angels to Walmart so they can see where they're going to be spending most of their lives when they grow up. It's like when I was in the, I was talking to somebody about this last night, when I was in, because I like many wayward youth, I was in the vocational program at my high school, which is where they send you if you're just like a complete F up, if you're just a retard. It's where they, like, just, if you're like a hoodlum or a juvenile delinquent or something, they send you to vocational school. And vocational school, and I don't know if it was the same at your all high schools, but the vocational school was in a completely separate building. It was like 3 miles away, so we wouldn't taint the rest of the school with our ugliness and, you know, lack of educational acumen. And so they sent us to the vocational, and the vocational center was where, like, the wood shop was, the metal shop, the car, you know, the auto classes, the, it's also where they euphemistically referred to it as the life skills class. And life skills was where the pregnant teenage moms went. It's like if you were a 14, 15, if you were like a high school sophomore or junior who'd been knocked up, they'd send you to life skills. And that's where you learned to, I don't know, whatever, swallow Valium and change your child's diapers or something, and, you know, whatever. Of course, the radio and TV classes were there too. And we didn't really mingle a whole lot. It's like there was a bunch of sort of pods inside of one building. And there was like it was like the auto shop class. And then there was the teen moms class. And then there was whatever. And then there was radio TV. And one of the things we had to do one year for a final is we had to put together a mock newscast. Because if you were in the TV radio program, you had to do both TV and radio. And I didn't really care about TV, but you had to do it. And so for our final one year, they made us do a mock newscast for our like high school, whatever, you know, TV, closed circuit TV station. You know? And so the newscast we had to do was we had to walk around the rest of the vocational center, and we had to do a 5-minute piece about all the other programs that they offered at the vocational center here at the school. And so we went from one place to the other interviewing everybody. And it was the only time we'd ever really seen everything that was there. And they had this one class, and it was, imagine this, it was like a full-on class that you took for however long a school quarter is. I forget, like 3-4 months, however long it is. And it was just a class that taught you how to be a retail checkout clerk. And it was like a 4-month class on how to operate a cash register for like your future job at JCPenney's.
Wait, that's the class that they put all the pregnant women in?
No. That was life skills class. Life skills class was how to avoid the temptation to smother the thing that's come out of you and ruined your life. That's how to fight off fits of parental homicidal anger.
The stove is for cooking only.
Were there billboards? And there still are in my neighborhood. A closet is only a place to hang a coat.
A bowling ball is for bowling.
Yeah, but no, but there was this class where it's like you would spend 4 months sitting there. Hello, Mrs. Smith. That'll be $3.95. You know, and like making change. And that was like a 3-week slice of the program. It was like making change in your head without the aid of a calculator. It was so depressing. And so we're in there with cameras having to interview these girls who are spending, what are you, like 120 school days learning how to operate a cash register so they can work at, let's be honest, a Walmart someday. Just sad, man. It's like if you were... You know what it is? Do you ever start welcome John Bisney here just a minute, but do you ever do this when you're playing a game as a kid and you just, you know, you're playing whatever. You're playing a video game or you're playing, and you just realize you've gotten off at the wrong foot and you just want to do a do-over. You know what I mean? Where you just, it's like, hold on, let's start over. Or like you're having a foot race and you get 3 steps in and some kid falls and you're like, okay, that's it. We're going to start over. Do-over. It's like if you just woke up and you were 16 and you're sitting there in a high school class whose sole purpose is to teach you how to operate a cash register, it's like, they've already decided, man. It's like they've already figured it out. They're like, this is what you're going to be doing. You know, you will be going to college. You will be running for office. You'll be a zany radio DJ. You're going to work at a Wendy's. You know, it's just, you know, why wouldn't you just opt out of the whole thing right there? Just wash your hands of it. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and man of the world, John Bisney. How are you, John?
Oh, I'm frustrated, Rick.
Because...
I'm sitting here working on my stupid expenses. We've got this new electronic system you've got to file everything through, and it's just driving me nuts.
If only you'd taken a class on how to operate a calculator or some sort of a paperwork, you'd be able to... This... You guys don't have to... So CNN just kind of foot the bill for all the stuff you guys do? Is that a thing where you have to sit in and... You don't have to sit in the... Itemize everything, do you?
As of now, we do, but they just started this.
Bunch of weasels.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what they get for merging with AOL. See, that's what happens, man. This is all Steve Case's fault.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me ask you this. When you went to high school, do they have a vocational skills center?
Absolutely.
Was it a separate building?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't think so.
No, see, well, you were probably in one of those advanced classes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you were in the, what do they call it? They called it, we had these things called AP classes. They were advanced placement. Mm-hmm. It was for people mm-hmm. who were going off to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, yeah, and then there was the middle layer for like 80% of the students.
Right.
And then there was the bottom 10% who went off to like an alternative high school or something somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
And I always viewed the kids in the college prep classes with like this mixture of envy and like bitter, seething hatred and resentment. So.
Sure.
Yeah,
and look where you are today.
And look where I am today. You've still got a better job than I do. Hey, so Saddam Hussein. So I mean, I just got all this stuff, all these big variables. The first question, of course, being Bush said this morning that they want to have a public trial for him, and that's another thing where he's going to be on trial. Is he going to be on trial in America, or is this going to be some Nuremberg type thing where it's some bipartisan, you know, how does that work?
I think it's a fabulous question. I don't think he's going to come to America, so you'd think, well, Iraq would be the logical place, but imagine the security nightmare of trying to conduct a trial like that in downtown Baghdad. So I'm wondering if it might be in some third country, you know, like The Hague or something. Just for that reason alone. Now, if they guess they think they can handle the security, then sure, I think Iraq is the way to go.
It seems to me like the United States is, you know, there's been such a fractious split among the rest of the world about whether or not it was even right to go to war in Iraq. It seems like the United States would very strongly be inclined to do that sort of a thing here in America, but they would probably receive. There's probably no legal precedent for them to do that, right?
Well, I think it's more symbolic than that. I think the administration is very anxious to portray the prosecution as, you know, sort of Iraqi-driven, if you will, to satisfy the grievances of the Iraqi people. And so that they feel as though they have a hand in this, and their fledgling government can have a success story.
And so then, if he's tried in Iraq... How do I put this? If he's tried in Iraq, is he going to be tried in Iraq, but according to international law?
Probably. We do understand that nothing is going to happen, and this is a little bit of new information. Nothing is going to happen apparently until July, because that's when the Iraqi government gets its sovereignty. And for the moment, you know, we can't hand him over to ourselves. Kind of what the position we'd be in, because we're running this provisional government.
And so it's going to happen in July, and so he will stay. So he will stay where then? Do we think until July?
Again, I think it's a question of security. CNN was reporting earlier that he was in Qatar or Qatar, as you and I called it growing up. But some people in Iraq are shooting that down now and saying, no, he's still at the airport, which is probably the most secure area in that country now for the U.S.
Hey, here's a dumb question, and I don't say this because I suspect that there's anything untoward going on. But we heard, you know, for what, 5-10 years about how Saddam had all these body doubles around everywhere. So how is this? How do they know this is him?
They did do DNA.
Okay.
They were very clear about that. They did not want to have the embarrassment that you correctly point out of saying, uh-oh. Wrong dude. Probably even, I mean, we see videotape of them checking his teeth. Now, I don't know if they have dental records on the guy.
Oh, that makes sense.
They definitely did DNA.
Well, yeah, and they've got, they had, what's it, Houdet and Hussein.
Right.
So they have those guys.
Exactly.
They found him in this, lurking in this hole where apparently he'd been for, I mean, did he not look like Karl Marx to you? I mean, they pulled him out. It's like, that's exactly what he looked like. Or William Gaines, that guy that published Mad Magazine, just this huge.
I like them both.
Yeah,
I do see the marks.
But they're talking about how, you know, it's a big symbolic blow, which of course it is. But they said that he's not going to be able to control Iraq. It doesn't really look like he was able to control, like even ordering a pizza from that hole. I mean, was he really controlling anything other than just his own hide inside that place?
Well, I think the only form he had to control anything was through this cash. You know, they found him with $750,000. And that can buy you an awful lot of trouble in Iraq. So perhaps he was, you know, slowly funding some of this stuff and being able to direct it that way. But, boy, they sure found no sophisticated communication gear with him that would, you know, indicate that he was in moment-to-moment contact. And the U.S. military said all along, since the major combat operations are over, that they didn't think there was, you know, they didn't see evidence that it was very well coordinated.
And so what did they say? They said that we are, quote, interrogating him right about now, trying to figure some things out. And if he's not, this is another sort of tricky question, but if he's not inside American, if he's not inside the boundaries of the United States of America, does interrogating him mean we could just be working him over with a, you know, pair of pliers and a blowtorch right about now?
No, because we have given him status as a prisoner of war under the Geneva Conventions, which bans that sort of thing. You know, he's not officially being called a POW, but he gets those rough.
All right. Okay. And so it is sort of a fait accompli, you think, that next year, this will probably, when he does this trial, this, I mean, I think we can probably say right now this is going to be televised in some large, I mean, Bush all but sort of said so this morning, that this will be a very public trial when it happens. Don't we think that's the case?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many, you know, cable channels in this country, maybe Court TV, would be interested in carrying this long, drawn-out affair with translators and the whole bit. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be open to international scrutiny. I think that's the key goal.
Man, next year is going to be like, it's going to be like trial fest. I mean, we're going to have, like, next year we are going to have, let's count them off now, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson, Scott Peterson, Phil Spector, Saddam Hussein. I mean, am I missing anybody?
No, that's fantastic. You're right.
I mean, that's unbelievable. All taking place within the first half of 2004. I mean, that makes me want to go buy stock in you know, I mean, your company. I mean, that makes me want to go buy stock in like Court TV right now. I mean, it's going to be a weird
year. Yeah, and think how crazy it's going to drive these Democratic candidates if they're trying to still get some airtime at that point. It's going to suck up all the oxygen.
Well, especially if they're trying to, I mean, we were talking about how everybody, they asked all the Democratic candidates today, or over the weekend what they thought about this, and every one of them was like, see, Howard Dean was wrong! I mean, every single
sure.
Democratic candidate, man, they I mean, this, I don't know if it's going to hurt Dean in the long run, but in the short term, they are definitely using this as some sort of a cudgel just to beat Dean up with on the assertion that he was therefore wrong to oppose the war in Iraq. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Absolutely.
All right, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. There you go on Capitol Hill. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We got more on the way, including Jolie from the front desk. Today's top five in honor of Saddam Hussein, top five songs about going to prison. And your phone call. Stay there. We'll be back at Hot Talk 1080 KFTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. In response to numerous questions, the weblog hasn't been updated for a while at rickemerson.com because I'm currently being screwed by a share. It's a whole long thing. There's a whole long, huge technical issue with a bunch of servers that are busy being configured. Anyway, long story short, I'm aware of it. I just the weblog is something that's gonna be static for a few more days before it gets updated. The website itself still works. It's just that the weblog, I'm not able to do any new postings to the weblog for another day or so. So the website is still there. Rick Emerson's still there. Pictures and everything works. The Bigger Than Jesus stuff is still there. By the way, if you want to see the most embarrassing picture of me ever taken, you can go to rickemerson.com. Just go to the main splash page, rickemerson.com, and there's a link there that tells you more about the Bigger Than Jesus, the Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan. Which we are reprising a performance of. It's going to be next month, January 16th, 17th, and January 23rd, 24th. Tickets are available at rickemerson.com. You go to the front page, just the front splash page there.
Oh, you were so cute.
Wasn't that great? Come on, that's a great picture. Look at that. What are they going to do?
God, were you like 80 pounds?
Seriously. It's like, what's his name? Greg said, you know, just... I think, you know, that's, teenage boys only have sort of two modes, you know? They have sort of, you know, fat and doughy, and they have tiny and Rick-like. And that was me, man.
How old were you?
It's like
in
a
this
bag
picture?
Of leaves, you know? I don't know, probably 16, 17. It's hard to tell what with the Paul Stanley makeup all slapdashedly applied and whatnot. Yeah, represent. Anyway, so you can pick up tickets for Bigger Than Jesus, the Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan. You can go to rickemerson.com. They're right there. We're going to be selling them, by the way, in person as well this Thursday only, I think. Actually here. We'll be doing those, selling those here, noon to 2, this coming Thursday only. So you can find more details about that at rickemerson.com. In Salem, Tony, you're a first-time
yes.
caller on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Love your show.
Cool. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to ask you if you sort of asked CNN reporter if there was any reports of pelting coming down from the 20 pounds or 20 tons of lead they put up in the air in Iraq.
Well, so yeah, as soon as they said that Saddam had been captured, there was a bunch of people just firing shotguns and assault rifles randomly into the air, which...
It happens here in L.A. I
mean, what? It happened in my hometown. Hell, every 4th of July, every New Year's, it's my dad and my grandfather out there with a shotgun in the backyard, just locking and loading right into the nighttime sky, never really thinking about the fact that all that stuff's got to land somewhere, nor about the fact that there's actually stuff above you. I remember there was one New Year's, or it was either New Year's or, I think it was a 4th of July, when I was about 10, and my dad, woo, independent, and the next day, phones aren't working. Why could that be? And the guy from the phone company comes out and is up there taking, well, it seems like your phone lines have, somebody, they've been filled full of lead. I can't even, and he cuts it down, and then my dad, quickly bundle that and throw that away so no one inspects it. And it was just my dad and my grandfather were out there firing their 12 gauges off into the sky, like rednecks. So, yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me that all the weapons were pointed at a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
It's like the Civil War, it was shooting off their cannons, hoping that all of a sudden they got to come down somewhere. Did you see the guy? These guys were coming out of the bars. Just here, hold on, watch my beer. And then they step outside, they shoot the gun up in the air, and then they run back in to get their beer. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. It's good to know. It's good to know that some things are a constant. Rednecks are everywhere. That's Tony in Salem. Excellent. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley in the KFT room.
Which brings us to Kennewick Corner. Trash and recycling collectors in Adams County are tired of cleaning up a growing number of jugs and bags of human waste left by the highways of Kennewick.
Yeah.
So the County Waste Reduction and Recycling Office took out a full-page newspaper ad to combat the problem.
Please don't crap on the side of the highway.
It features a photo of a plastic milk jug filled with urine and the message saying, okay, one last time, this is not a urinal. From March 4th to November 27th, the county highway crew picked up more than 2,600 bags of urine and 67 bags of human excrement.
That's a fun job. Anybody saying it's not a big urinal has never actually been to Kennewick, by the way. If you spend more than an hour or so there, you're aware that not only is it a big urinal. Hell, what's it? The rest of the country takes their nuclear waste and sends it to Kennewick to be buried in, cardboard boxes right next to schoolyards. What's the big, suddenly we're all upset about pee? What the hell? No, not urine. Plutonium, yes. Pee, no. So, what are they going to do? I remember when I was in high school, they would always have that thing of if you got detention enough times, they would do that thing where they sent you to work in a road crew. You'd have to go out there on the litter patrol with the stick with the pointy thing on the end of it, and pick up the crap and put it in the bag. So now it's literally crap. Someone says that there have been six, the caller says there's been six deaths reported in Iraq and 300 plus injuries from, we can't figure out why big chunks of metal are falling out of the sky.
Half of the Clergy Watch.
Here's your Clergy Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body.
Every bone hell
has got a body like you. Because I got to have faith. I got to have faith.
I got to have faith.
Well, this comes to us from, of all places, Texas. He applied the rod, but won't be spared. A Texas church pastor has been sentenced to 26 years in prison for severely beating a young boy with a switch. That's a small tree branch. The pastor's twin brother received a 14-year sentence for his role in the beating of Louis Guerrero, who was 11. The doctor who treated Guerrero said the boy was hit at least 100 times with a switch. He had to spend a week in intensive care, needed a blood transfusion, and faced a variety of, things like kidney failure. Pastor Joshua Thompson and his brother Caleb admit the beating, but dispute the blow count and its intensity.
It weren't no more than 75.
They say they'll appeal their convictions.
Yeah, okay. Jesus did say, suffer the little children, come unto me. Here's your Clergy Watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Because I got to have faith.
Is it it's a wonder any of us are still alive. It just seems like the law of averages that everybody here who grew up religious or Catholic or something ought to have been raped or beaten or hit with a trowel or something at some point. It's a wonder we're even here.
Well, the family of the late Senator Strom Thurmond isn't disputing a black woman's claim that she is his illegitimate mixed-race daughter.
Don't!
In a brief statement, it says it acknowledges the claim made by Essie Mae Washington Williams regarding her heritage. The 78
Essie Mae Washington Williams, could she be blacker?
Yeah, it's a hyphen, too. The 78-year-old Williams, a retired school teacher, made the claim over the weekend. She has long been rumored to be Thurman's love child. The lawyer says she's coming forward now with the urging and encouragement of her children. As a teenager, she worked as a maid in the Thurman home and became pregnant. Thurman is a one-time segregationist. He was the nation's oldest and longest-living senator. He died in June at the age of 100.
You know, the great terrible thing about Strom Thurmond having a love child is that makes you think about Strom Thurmond, you know, like on a love seat, just humping it out with some woman, which is, you know, and he just, you know, by the time he died, he just looked like, who's that pretzel, Mr. Salty? That's what he looked like. He was just like this, you know, I mean, you think I looked frail as a 16-year-old, man. He's just, you know, I was just, he looked like Jack Skellington, just sitting there in his, just sitting there in a chair. I can't have sugar. Just there, it's like I'm completely unable to move. And this should come as no surprise to anybody, because anytime, there's a little rule of thumb from me to you. It's a little maxim, and this will serve you well. Anytime somebody spends like 50 years bitching about something, it's something that they secretly love. That's why every one of these, if you have problem gays in your family, I can turn them straight. That's why those guys are always, they always get arrested on the wrong side of a glory hole at some point in their life, because it's always some guy got some secret fetish for gay sex. Some guy, you know, segregationist wants to keep, the black man and the white man apart. It's because he's, you know, because he's secretly humping the maid on the side. Just, you know it to be true. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080, KFTK. Like we said before, see the brothers call the trouble, hit the busted bubble, cause we rumble from our lower level. To condition your condition, we're gonna do a song that you never heard before. Make it all step along to the education. Brothers gotta work it out and stop chasing.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.